saw something taking place during worship, a cutting, even a circumcision of our heart. I saw a separation of distraction, of fear, of worry, of anxiety, of how do I do this? How do I not do this? How do I make this? I saw all of these things being circumcised from our hearts, from our lives, and being removed. I saw a generation arise with their God-given identity inscribed upon. I saw almost like Superman, like a tearing away of that which was covering up our God-given identity and stepping into a place of saying, I know who I am and I will hide it no longer. I saw a separation from and a separation into. So today I proclaim over you identity, 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 your God-given identity. No longer are you called fearful. No longer are you called worrier. No longer are you called broke. No longer are you called sick. No longer are you called anything except what He says. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So we receive that word. We receive what you're doing. Inscribe upon my flesh who I am. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, with all boldness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you, God. Thank you, Lord. How many of you know God wants to give you boldness, y'all? I mean, God wants to give you boldness because not only does He know who you are, but He wants you to know who you are so you can tear away that which tries to hide who you are and allow that which you are to come forth. Do you know that since the garden, man has been trying to find their identity because identity was stripped. God did not call us to try to search out our identity, but to step into who He called us to be now, today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh. I'm glad you're here. Although I'd have fun with Jesus and me, but I'm glad you're here. Are you looking forward to hearing from the Lord tonight? Because I am. I'm hungry. I brought a fork and a knife, and if it won't fit in one piece in my mouth, I'm going to cut it up and shove it in there because I want it all. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. I'm hungry for the Word. I'm hungry for all that You have tonight, Lord, so bring it on. We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm afraid to make you sit down, but I think I'm going to have you sit down. Pumps are primed up here. I am telling you, it is so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, we are blessed to have in our house Dee McDonald. And she brought her husband, David, with her. Yeah, amen. So David's beautiful wife, Dee, is here with us as well. So she's in the back there. We love her and glad that she's here. But David is here as well. And so would you just prepare yourselves, prepare your hearts. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask Apostle David to come and share with us tonight. And just so you know, a big portion of what you're going to hear, he has an entire manual on the prophetic. He actually has an apostolic manual as well. This is new and fresh. This is not something that has been around a long time as far as this manual goes. So I just want you to engage and engage in what the Lord is going to do. This is going to be a building time over the next few days. And so if you're able to be here, I would encourage you to come and bring somebody with you. And so let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, God, for sending amazing men and women of God to this house. And Lord, we receive all that you want to do, all that you want to say into our hearts, Lord, as seed, fertile ground that we have, receiving seed to produce the fruit that you want it to produce in us. So we engage with you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you welcome Apostle David McDonald tonight?
Hallelujah.
God is good, amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I hope this thing will... Yeah, there we are. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Don't have enough space on these things. Hallelujah. We're going to cover a couple of things over the next couple of days, and I really want you to focus. Can I ask all those people sitting right on that side, if you can move in here? It's just easier for me to teach. We're in a teaching mode. This is there. That's awesome. Thank you, sir. No, that's not going to work. It's too low. Water. Yeah, give me some water in case I can throw it. No, I'm going to just stay here. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now, I want to just explain something to you that I'm not preaching tonight. I'm not preaching tomorrow night. I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. And I want you to realize that we are in a season of God recruiting. God is recruiting His church. We've heard so much about the prophetic. And as I travel around the world, we still have one prophet here and one prophet there and a couple of little prophets over there. And so we need to realize that God is building His church and He's bringing the church into a place of maturity. How many of you sense that? How many of you feel that you're in a season of recruitment? It's like God is not letting you get away with stuff. It's like you can't sit there any longer and just veg out. God's going to start putting stuff on you. God's going to start stirring you up. There's going to be a stirring in your spirit. Come on, man. And God's going to start to bring you into this place of faith. And suddenly that you're going to find expression. I am very encouraged. Last night when I left you, I was very encouraged by the excellence of the youth that I ministered to. And I feel that you as a church, you've transitioned. There's been a definite transition. There's been like this building and building. And I really feel there's like this groundswell of what God is doing. Amen? Come on. And can I just say this, that I'm starting to learn that we need to keep this stuff as practical as possible. As practical. I've been to a lot of different conferences, and it's like it's so deep. Like you need goggles and a snorkel. Like you need to be like Aquaman. And I really feel the Lord is saying, no, you need to keep it as simple as possible so people can understand what I want them to do. Amen. Come on. And so we are never meant not to walk in revelation. All of us are meant to have revelation, walk in revelation, understand doctrines, understand theologies, understand dogmas. We've got to understand that God's made the word palatable to us. The word palatable, it's easy to digest. Yeah. Amen? Come on. It's not far out there somewhere. And no, God wants to just bring us into this place where it's practical, it's easy to understand, and on top of that, we have the Holy Ghost. Right. How many of you are happy that you have the Holy Spirit? Because many times it has to bypass my brain. Amen? Come on. Thank goodness it bypasses my brain and goes straight down into my spirit. And the Spirit of God reveals things to me. Amen. Come on. We've got to bypass our natural thinking. So just to give you a couple of things, we're going to speak about a couple of things. The introduction, your path to promotion. Chapter 1, your process matters. Chapter 2, favor with God and man. Chapter 3, embrace the process. I don't know if we'll get to chapter 4, how God speaks to prophets, increasing your awareness. Amen. Come on. Because how many of you know that some of us are sleeping? The Bible says in Luke, you need to make sure what you're hearing. Amen. Come on. You are a hearing spirit. And God wants us to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Come on. What are you hearing? Who's speaking into your ear gate? What are you watching? What's going into your eye gate? Matters. Amen. Come on. Are you aware? Are you alert? Are you just walking dead? Or are you walking alive? Are you breathing? Amen. Come on. How many of you are breathing? Yeah. Two of you. That's great. Okay, so let's get into the introduction and the path to promotion. And so before we jump into talking about the prophetic journey, I want to lay out my intentions for this teaching, because I've written two manuals on the prophetic. This is the third manual. And then I've written one on the apostolic and one on generational leadership. But my heart is that I didn't create this manual to tell you that you're a prophet. I want you to tell you that right off the bat. I created this because God will tell you that. God will show you that you're a prophet. Whether you call to be a prophet or not, I know that it's God's will. God's will is the best for you, or the best place for you to be in is a place of learning, a place of growing, a place of maturity. Amen. Come on. You've got to figure out. You've got to discern the gifts on your life. Far too often, now I believe it's scriptural that we tell people, you have a gift, I sense this, I sense that. But it's no use me sensing it, or I'm feeling it, or the Holy Spirit telling you that you have a gift. You've got to investigate it. You've got to go out there, you've got to knock on heaven's door, and you've got to say, God, that guy over there said that I have a gifting, so you've got to investigate it. You've got to become obedient in this season. Amen? Come on. So my encouragement for you as we move forward in this manual is this. Do not seek out a title or an office, but rather seek out the kingdom and the king. Amen? Come on. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And the reason why I say that, it seems like we seek out an office because it's important. All the offices are important, but they have different functions. Amen? Come on. Don't seek out a title. Please don't think, you know, now we're just going to hand out titles. No, we're not going to hand out titles. We're going to hand out revelation and instruction so that you can become aligned with the Spirit of God and ask Him what your function is in this season. Amen? Come on. Remember that God has plans to prosper you. If you ask for it, He loves to give you. If you thought it, he loves to take you higher. If you dream big, his love for you is to dream bigger. If you aimed high, his love aims higher. So everything you think of, I want you to think about this. If you're dreaming about ministry, God's involved. If you're dreaming about prophetic ministry, He's involved. If you're dreaming about healing somebody, He's involved. If you're dreaming about evangelism, He's there. Because everything that comes out of the heart of God, how many of you know that God's already partnered with that before you were born? Amen. Come on. So we've got to start to activate that faith. He's not insecure. He's not unfamiliar. God is very much familiar what's going on inside of you. And if you can dream it, God will bless you. God will be right there, but you've got to act by faith. Amen? Come on. You understand what I'm saying? It's almost like we never pull the trigger on faith or vision or gifting or anointing. We never pull that trigger because we think it's not us, it's somebody else. Your pastor said something very powerful tonight. Pastor Zach said, what did he say tonight? You've got to be bold. You've got to become, last night I spoke about, 2020 is going to be the year of courage. Come on, with everything that's happening out there in the nations, you've got to be courageous. You've got to be bold. Amen, come on. You've got to press in. So any job title or position you can work your way into without God. Let me say that again. Any job title or position you can work your way into without God does not compare to the joy that comes from being in His will for your life. Amen. Come on. You can work yourself into any job, into any title without God. But many times it's very difficult to think that this is not my job. This is not my career. This is not something I picked when I was at high school. I didn't apply to be a prophet. I never applied anywhere to be an apostle. It wasn't a job. There was no job. I've yet to fill in a job application. And I've been doing this for 30 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? God calls. There's a calling. He puts a calling on us. I woke up one morning in 1982 and suddenly I was having dreams and visions and I was getting all sorts of impressions in my spirit for people. I didn't know what it was. I was Presbyterian. It's like, what is this? And things were happening in my life and then I got saved. And then God took us to Bible school and for the first time I realized this is a gift. By the Holy Spirit. Amen. I didn't choose it. I didn't wake up one day and say, I choose to be a prophet to the nations. I just woke up one day and there it was. Bang. But what I did was, I did my due diligence and I pursued God. I pursued the gift. I pursued the Holy Spirit. I pursued a relationship with Jesus. I pursued intimacy with God. I pursued it and pursued it and pursued it. And 30 years later, I look down the path and I'm thinking, man, I've just scratched the surface of what God wants me to be. Amen? Are you hearing me? And so my prayer is that in the next 3 days, is that this will help you to understand what a prophet is and how they function. Because I think many times we speak about the gift and we speak about all the fluff that comes with the gift, but we don't speak about the function. And I really think it's important. Yes, we talk about prophets, but there are principles for kingdom life that will apply to every believer in these next few days. So I believe that you need to really open your hearts because I believe God's going to start to pour stuff into your heart, pour stuff into your spirit, pour stuff into your mind, and you're going to leave here saying, man, that was really for me. Beyond that, I want to help you to go deeper on your prophetic journey because all of you are on a journey.
Yeah, that's right.
How many of you, you're on a journey? You're on a journey. The minute you got saved, you stepped into a journey. Sometimes the journey will take a long time. Sometimes God will accelerate these journeys. But it seems like the only end will come when Jesus comes back. Because I meet people that all the time say, well, I can't wait to get to the summit. Like there's no summit. Believe me, been there, done that. There's no summit. When you get to the summit, like, oh, there's another summit. And so you just keep on climbing and you keep on working and you keep on churning. And it's just an amazing journey. Amen. Come on. You know, when I, 20 years ago, I said to Dee, I can't wait to get to the pinnacle of my ministry. And she said, I've got bad news for you. There's no pinnacle. Amen. Come on. And so let me read this again. Beyond that, I want to help you to go deeper on your prophetic journey so that you can gain clarity on the subjects of prophecy and prophets. I hope that you'll walk away with clarity in what God is calling you to go deeper to and for you to gain a hunger and a confidence in His voice. Amen. Come on. And so let's look at chapter 1 and I'm just going to speak on tonight your process. Your process matters. Just write that down. Your process matters. I believe many people don't fulfill their destiny completely because they did not fulfill or did not complete the process. Amen. Come on. Your process matters to God, and so does your destiny matter to God. We all have a process. And so I can't count the number of times people have talked to me about leaders not acknowledging the destiny in their life. I can't tell you, if I took a dollar for every person that told me, I'd be very wealthy. People would come to me and say, well, my pastor doesn't this, and my pastor, well, I need to teach you some things. I need to show you some things, specifically the call to the office of a prophet or the gift of prophecy. Typically, they have some sort of prophetic word or personal experience in which God commissions them as a prophet. I'm always wary when I meet people that were commissioned as a prophet without anybody around them actually laying hands on them. In other words, you may receive the gift of prophecy, but the day needs to come where leaders actually recognize that gift and you actually get commissioned in that sphere of influence. In other words, you can't walk around with the title of the prophet without people actually recognizing that in your life, and you're actually living from community. You actually receive that gifting in the sense of a local church within community, and your leaders actually recognize that in your life. There's many self-proclaimed prophets, self-proclaimed apostles, self-proclaimed. And Jesus actually says in the last days there will be many false prophets and false apostles. And what that actually means is people that actually gave themselves a title and no, they didn't wait for the process. They may have received a prophetic gift, but they didn't go through the process correctly. Amen? Come on. And we are really strong in getting, I'm part of HIM, I'm part of the International Apostolic Team, I'm part of Che's African team, Australian, I'm just going. But our purpose in being apostolic is to teach apostolic truths. To actually bring some pillars and some foundation and lay it down, especially in this season. Amen? Come on. We've got to get people equipped, correctly equipped, so they can function in their anointing correctly. Amen? Come on. And I want to tell you, I'm getting really, really concerned about people coming through churches and they're not preaching revelation. They're preaching stuff they preached 10 years ago. They're just going through what they preached 5 years ago, and it's all the same stuff. They just put some different wording in it, and they're just preaching the same messages. That's not revelation. You're not going to get built up with that stuff. You're just going to get full with that stuff. There's a big difference between white bread and oats. I can tell you that. White bread will fill you up. Oats will clean you out. You need some meat. You don't need white bread. And there's a lot of guys walking around with all sorts of messages, but it's no revelation. There's no truth. There's no inspiration. There's no activation. There's no presence of God on it. It's just information. And we think it's wonderful. Hello? Yeah, yikes. Bro, I'm telling you. I've seen it. It's like, man, I've heard that before. I've heard that message before. I've heard that 16 times. There's nothing fresh anymore. Amen. Come on. How many times can you eat a leftover salad? About once. And afterwards, it starts to get really sloppy. And so I look at this stuff and I'm realizing that, man, there's a lot of guys out there and they don't have revelation. They have lots of information. And they'll come and you'll think it's great and wonderful and you'll leave meetings feeling inadequate. Something's wrong. I'm not being built up. I'm not inspired. I'm not activated. Nothing's growing, but I heard a lot of word. How many of you have been there? I've been there. You don't put your hand up, but I've been there. And I believe God is bringing us to a place that we've got to start to discern where we're getting our stuff from. Come on. Typically, they have some sort of prophetic word or personal experience in which God commissions them as a prophet. They take this as a license to operate in the office of a prophet in their local church or ministry. There's many people that feel, I am now entitled. I feel God's called me as a prophet. And they get into a church, but they've bypassed the most important facet or process of that journey. Maybe you've had an experience like this. Maybe you've been in that place where you've had a dream or you've had a prophetic word or whatever it is, and you just feel that nobody's recognizing you. Perhaps you've had a dream that felt surreal, that there's no questioning God was on it. Maybe you know deep down that you've been called to lead, called to impact culture, called to minister, or yes, even called to be a prophet, but still haven't stepped into living out this calling in its fullness. Let me show you how important it is for you to understand the process. I'm not trying to demean anybody. I'm not trying to call you down. I'm not trying to call you out of your gifting. What I'm showing you is that if you have a gifting, there's a certain protocol that God works with. What I'm speaking about is protocol. You can't bypass the protocol. And that's why we've seen so many people hurt, so many people jumping off the end of the earth, so many church splits, because we have people that may have been commissioned by God, but they haven't been commissioned by man. They're not operating with God's favor and man's favor at all. They're just operating in their own favor. Let me show you. It can be frustrating. It may even be discouraging. And if left unaddressed, disheartening to know something to be true for your life, but you feel nobody else sees it. Often the key for waiting for your promotion into your prophetic destiny with peace lies in understanding the level of favor in which you're operating. Let me show you. I've noticed that people often fail to realize that to have authority in any community, you must have the favor of God and the favor of man on your life. Now, Pastor David, where do you read that? I'm glad you asked. Luke 2:52. It says that Jesus, it says, in fact, even Jesus himself kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Say God and man. Well, I have favor with God. Well, do you have favor with your local church? Well, God called me. Did your leaders actually recognize the calling? Or have you just gone right out of your orbit and you just functioned because you had a dream? I mean, I wish I had an army like that. For those guys that have been in the military, I wish when I arrived at the military, when I was in the military, I wish I arrived there and there was no sergeant majors around. I mean, can you imagine walking into an army barracks and they just said, hey, there's some uniforms, there's some guns, let's just go to have some fun. I'll never forget the day I was in the military. I walked into a military base on the 7th of January, 1980. I'll never forget it. It's forever forged in my emotions. You know why? Because I walked in there with my civilian clothes. My hair was long. I was scruffy. I had my camel, packet of camel rolled up in my sleeve and my shirt. I walked in there with my suitcase with a little bit of a little action. And there was a man that met me at the gate. I couldn't see his eyes. He had a little brown bush hat on, and it covered his eyes and his uniform. You could skate on his uniform. That's how much it was so pressed, so it was so neat. And there was a language coming out of his mouth I couldn't even understand. And in 2 days, when I heard that voice, every fear of God rose up in me. But 6 months later, not only did I realize he changed my life, but he taught me how to save my life and save the lives of others. Do you understand what I'm saying? We think church is one big party. We're actually dealing with Christian, with kingdom principles. God is a God of excellence. God does not change. We change. And it's almost like we're releasing people into destiny and into giftings and into authorities and into all sorts of mantles. And you go and change the world, but don't change your life. Don't change your action. Don't change this. Don't change your nature. Just go. We'll give you the equipment. And then they all coming back. Half their limbs are gone. Ears are gone. Eyes are gone. All sorts are gone because they haven't been trained correctly. I'm going to fight for the integrity of the prophetic ministry in the nations. This is such a vital gift. And yet we've abused it and we've made it out to be, we've prostituted the anointing of the prophets. We've used money to proselyte, what is the word? To teach them, we treat them like prostitutes. You come into our church and we'll give you an offering, but we want all the prophetic stuff. And the poor prophet comes under pressure and starts to prophesy everything under the sun, S-U-N, but it's not under the S-O-N. We've got to start to teach the church how to move in this amazing gift. So I'm not just speaking about the prophetic, Pastor Zach. I'm speaking about every gifting in the church. The apostolic, the prophetic, the teacher, the evangelist. The pastor, every other gift that's operating within the church, there's a process involved. Let's look at how the principle of favor played out in another human life. A man that wasn't by any means perfect, but he was still delighted. He still delighted God's heart, King David. I love King David. Samuel the prophet was instructed by God to anoint a man king from the house of Jesse. The prophet went to Jesse's house and commanded all his sons to pass out before him. When the last of the seven sons stood before Samuel, the prophet was bewildered. Are these all of your children? Samuel inquired. No, there remains yet the youngest one, and he's tending the sheep. Jesse replied. Send and bring him to me, Samuel insisted. Can I just tell you something that I believe, and I've heard it from Brian Simmons, Dr. Brian Simmons? Do you know that David was actually born out of wedlock? He was an illegitimate child. People don't realize that. That's why he wasn't part of the first group called into the house, because he had no right standing with that family. Isn't that sad? Can you imagine David looking in from the hills and he could see down in the distance all his brothers summoned to the house and there was nothing happening with him? Nobody called him. He was called last. And I love that about David. He didn't get into a big flat spin. It doesn't say anything about him having a real bad day or, you know, having a sulk. He just went around just looking after sheep. Amen? Come on. I love that. I wish I can speak more about that. When David finally arrived at the house, the Lord said to Samuel, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord, say that with me, and the Spirit of the Lord, say that with me again, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. You can go and read it, 1 Samuel 16, 1-13. Not only was David anointed king, but also the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. And you can go and read that in 1 Samuel 16:14. And so, yeah, we see an amazing thing, God's favor, God's process. Listen to me. Like I said last night, some of you are trying to kill Goliath, but you haven't killed the lion and the bear yet. Let me say that again. Some of you are trying to touch nations and you haven't even served in the house yet. Amen. Come on. Give me. My name's Jimmy. Pastor, I want to preach on Sunday. But you've never swept a carpet. You've never cleaned the toilet. You've never picked a paper. You've never cleaned anything. You've never served the house. You've never done nothing. But what you seek is you seek position over function. And that's not how God operates. And so let's just look at this. Let's just keep on talking. Is that okay? Yeah. And so let's break down the favor mishaps that occur when you don't wait for favor with both God and man. Let me show you what happens when you don't wait for favor. I mean, by the way, can I just welcome Captain Roger and his wife, Sherry? He's from South Africa. Both of them lived in South Africa. It's such an amazing blessing to have you here. Amen. He flew for the Rhodesian Air Force. He flew for, when you left Rhodesia, where did you go to? The Sultan of Oman flew for them. Was a military contractor in Afghanistan. Lived in, just give them a big hand. I just want to honor him. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know why you haven't written a book yet or made a movie yet, brother. Let me tell you, we'd make some money. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's break down some things. Some mishaps that occur when you don't wait for favor. How many of you want to wait for favor? I want to wait for favor. I want favor with man, but I also want favor with God. Favor with God will bring me into the presence of man. And so if you have favor with God, listen to this, but you don't yet have favor with men, you decide to take your rightful place of authority. Let me say that again. If you have favor with God, but you don't have favor with man, and you decide to take your rightful place of authority, you'll probably find yourself like the Old Testament character Joseph. He was thrown into a pit long before he was promoted to the palace. Did God call Joseph? Yes. Did God give Joseph all those dreams? Yes. But listen to this. Joseph was the youngest of 11 brothers, but his father favored him above his siblings because he was the son of his old age. Joseph's brothers were extremely jealous of him because his father loved Joseph more than the rest of them. Then one night, Joseph had a dream from God in which he saw himself as a great leader and ruling over his brothers and his parents. Instead of keeping the dream to himself and waiting for God to fulfill his call, he came out of his bedroom and told all his brothers about the dream. Hello? No wisdom. No wisdom. As you can imagine, this further strained his relationship with his brothers until they finally hated him so much that they threw him in a pit and then sold him into slavery. As if it wasn't bad enough, Joseph got falsely accused of raping his master's wife and gets thrown into prison. But by divine providence and a series of miraculous circumstances, Joseph becomes the ruler of all Egypt under Pharaoh. It's in Genesis 37. But can I just say this? I personally think there are many paths to the palace. There are many paths to the palace. One of them is not to the pit. Come on, you don't have to go through unnecessary problems in ministry because you didn't understand the process. You ran out ahead of yourself. You got your cards printed. You got your everything printed. You bought tickets and you flew to Hawaii and you got all these invitations, but you never worked on your bad behavior. So money still tempts you. Okay. You still have bad behavior problems. Your character's not built. Nothing's built. You have favor with God. God's given you the gift. But he's saying, hey, you know what? You've just shortcut the process. You're going to get into trouble. I still meet people like that today. I had a guy, a young man, phone me. You can ask my wife. A young man phoned me 2 days ago. I was sitting there with a phone on speakerphone, and he said, "Can you get me into this big church? And can you tell that pastor that, you know, because she's no longer part of that association, can she step down and I'll become the senior leader?" It's like we started laughing. He's like, "Whoo!" Just because he has a gift doesn't mean he has the maturity or the leadership, or even the mantle to lead. He may have a gift to speak, but he doesn't have a gift to lead. Amen? Come on. You may feel all sorts of compassion for people, but that doesn't mean that you've got the anointing to lead. You may just have the compassion. You may just have a gift of compassion. And a lot of people say, well, God called me to be a pastor. How did you know that? Well, I had a dream about sheep. That's not going to help you very much. Amen? And so I don't believe that Joseph had to be sold into slavery and then be put into prison to become the ruler of Egypt. I didn't believe that. I really feel that he misinterpreted what God was doing. I think God determined through Joseph's destination, but his lack of wisdom and arrogant attitude determined his rough pathway to promotion. I want a good way to promotion. I don't want to go to a pit and then get sold in there and then go there and then go to prison for 15 years. I want to find the right path to the palace. Amen. Come on. I'm going to bide my time. Amen. Come on. God is opposed to the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. James 4:6. God gives grace to the humble. Whatever you call to be by God, there is wisdom in waiting for the Lord to grant you favor with man. Just say, I need favor with man. God's given me a gift, but I need favor with man. I need favor with man. God, I thank you for the gift, but I need favor by man. I need to be accepted by man. Amen. Come on. God's calling you to nations, but you still need man. Can I give you a little definition? I just get concerned sometimes when I go to churches and in the prayer room, there's people praying and this is what they'll say. Lord, we thank you for your anointing, but God, we thank you that it's not about the man. That's me. Referring to me. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We haven't come to hear David McDonald. Lord, we've come to hear you. I'm sorry to tell you, I come with a package. I'm actually part of the package. I come with the Spirit. I am the one that comes with the gift. I am the vessel. You may not like what the vessel looks like. You may not even like the vessel, but I am part of the package. Like your pastor, he's part of the package. God's brought him here, brought his wife here, brought Sage here, brought their family here. He's part of the package. Amen. Come on. Some of you leaders, you may not necessarily like them. You may not even like to see them. I don't care, but they're part of the package. They're part of what God is doing and facilitating in your city and in your house. Come on. We can't always judge the vessel. When I look at all these vessels, I may be saying, well, I don't like that vessel. That vessel's too narrow. How am I going to drink out of this thing? So let's just smash it. I don't like this vessel. It's not nice. It doesn't look nice. It's just bad. I hate it. And so we can look at all these things and all these vessels. This vessel is actually pathetic. How am I going to put anything in this thing? Amen? Come on. So let's just smash this thing on the ground. You see, that's how we act with people. I don't like the shape of the vessel. I don't like the color of the vessel. I don't like how the vessel looks. I don't like this. I like this vessel because this vessel goes with my temperament. Amen? So I'll just keep this vessel. Hallelujah. That's how we act. And we distort truth because we distort wisdom and we distort all sorts of stuff because we don't like the vessel. I remember my brother-in-law was preaching in a church somewhere, I think it was America, and people got up and they didn't know he was my brother-in-law. And they said, that guy speaks weird. We can't understand his act because he's from Scotland. And you know what they said? We don't want him back because we didn't understand him. And immediately made a judgment because they could not understand his accent. And that guy is an apostle of worship. That's written books all about worship. Traveled to over, I don't know how many nations, D, I don't know how many nations. 100,000 people graduated out of his schools. But because we don't understand his accent. Because he sounds like Braveheart's cousin. Point to ponder. Write this down. This is the point to ponder. Have you tried to take your rightful place of authority without waiting for favor with men? Have you tried to take your place of authority without having the favor with men? If so, how can you repent and choose to serve the people in your life instead of attempting to lord your authority over them? Because I can step out in authority, in my authority. I can even say God gave me the gift, but I still need favor. Amen? Come on. You don't have to go to the pit to reach people globally. You can find an easy entrance into the palace, into the kingdom, by doing it God's way. Amen? Come on. Because the first sign of somebody saying, I have all authority, the first sign, can I tell you what it is? Pride. I don't need your favor. I don't need to be your friend. I don't need to be in relationship with you. I don't come here as a guest speaker to this church. I'm not a guest speaker. I come as a friend of the house. I'm part of HIM. I'm an associate. When I come in here, I come under their authority. And this is their vineyard, not my vineyard. But we have the same DNA. Amen. Come on. And let me tell you, God's growing new wine in the vineyard. There's new wine. Say new wine.
New wine.
But I'm not the steward of the vineyard. You are. But I'm not. I don't come here as a foreigner. Do you understand? Hopefully. Thank you, Jesus. And so, favor with man and no favor with God. Let me show you some of the things. Are you guys okay? On the other hand, there are certain people who have the uncanny ability to gain favor with others without or long before they have favor with God. So they have like the gift of the gab. They just suck people in. And these people remind me of King David's son Absalom, who won the hearts of the people and usurped David's kingship. Let's look at the story together. Can we look at the story together quickly? And so, let's just, before we get into the story, I just want to lay some more foundation here. But let's look at this real quickly about Absalom. How many of you know that Absalom had this uncanny ability to draw people into the gate, told the people all these things, he counseled the people, and he said, let me read this to you. If you didn't know the biblical account, you probably would assume that David became king that day. But the fact is, David didn't become king for 14 years. Let me just go back, the backstory here. The backstory is when David was anointed as king, he never became king immediately. It took 14 years. I want you to just think about that. 14 years. And this is the danger. When we bring people into fellowship and into relationship and we walk with them for a couple of years, we then start telling people, oh, I think you're a prophet. And we start telling people, we start using language that they may not even understand, but because they think it's important, they'll gravitate towards it, and it's actually premature. Amen? Come on. I want to find out where the guy's from, how many years he's been around, how long have you been saved, how many are you married, how's your marriage doing, how's your kids doing, how's this happening, do you have a track record? I have a track record. You can phone Pastor Cheyenne. You can call him tonight. You can call him tomorrow. I have a track record. You can speak to my wife over there. I have a track record. You can call my pastor. I actually have my own a pastor in Charleston, South Carolina, that we've been committed to for 6 years. You can call these people. I have a track record. I'm Googleable. You can Google me. Hallelujah. It's like I've attained some status. And praise God, it's all positive. Hallelujah. Because they don't know me very well. Amen. So if you didn't know, David became king after 14 years. I want you to think about that. Just pause and let that soak in. Because we just so quick, we just want to get in. Amen. Come on. Point to ponder. Perhaps the length of time, listen to this. Perhaps the length of time of your waiting and preparation doesn't mean that you've missed your prophetic destiny or that your leaders have failed to notice what's on your life. Have you confused God's favor and timing with being overlooked? People are saying, but why am I always overlooked? I'm always overlooked. No, no, don't confuse God's timing with your battle with your flesh. Wait on God. If I think about it now, I would have probably waited a little while longer for me to get into full-time ministry. Because when we went into full-time ministry, I was born again in 1980. That's when I was saved, 1980. I had a radical encounter with God in 1980, so much so, I mean, my testimony has gone around the world. I've been interviewed by Sid Roth on television. I had a radical encounter with God. I went to Bible school in 1988, 1989, and we went into full-time ministry in 1991. But let me tell you, we had to go through years of hard knocks because I wasn't ready. I had the gift. People recognized the gift. They were drawn to the gift. But David MacDonald was so broken and so inadequate and so fractured that I had to go around the mountain a couple of times. In actual fact, God took me from America, took me to Australia for 12 years, the first 4 years, so that I could get healed. Hello? God said, I'm taking you to the backside of the wilderness. I'm taking you to your own Brook Cherith. And I'm going to get the ravens to feed you. But in Brook Cherith, I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to get you. I'm going to put you in the blacksmith shop. And you're not going to be the blacksmith. You're going to be the sword. And I'm going to beat the tar out of you. Amen. Come on. I'm going to shape you and mold you the way I want you to be. You see, some of us don't understand that when the next thing we find ourselves in the blacksmith shop of life, we complain because we want to be the blacksmith. And God said, I had to take you to Australia. So I learned and realized that Dee and myself, you know, Dee was probably more mature than I was, but I wasn't mature. I was immature. I could prophesy. I could move prophetically, but I wasn't a prophet. I could teach. A lot of people got healed in our services, but I had to go through all that time because I didn't do the process right. Amen? Come on. I wasn't sent. When I went into ministry, the guy that mentored me, he sent me, but I wasn't sent by a church when I went into full-time ministry. So I had to go, God had to go put me in ministry, and then he had to pull me back into the blacksmith shop and refine me and then send me. Come on, man. I just want to be transparent. And 30 years later, I'm thinking, if I could help anybody tonight, please be patient with the process. Because let's go back to David's story. In the meantime, listen, in the meantime, Israel lived with an unrighteous and insane king until he finally died in battle. Do you know that Saul became insane? David had several opportunities to kill King Saul, but he refused to touch God's anointed. And isn't it amazing today that we have no problem in touching God's anointed? Even if they bad. You're not the church policeman. God is. Let God deal with the unrighteous. You walk redemptively and in grace, and God will deal with the unrighteousness. Amen? Come on. And so finally King Saul died in battle, and the men of Judah came and anointed David king over the house of Judah. This is 2 Samuel 2:4. You can go and read it. And then 7 years later, all the elders of Israel came to the king in Hebron. And King David made a covenant with him before the Lord at Hebron. Then they anointed king over Israel a second time. And it's important to note that David was anointed to be king three different times. Once by God through Samuel and twice by men. Amen. Come on. And we just want people to lay hands on us. I think the process into ministry needs to be a little more tougher. But what happens is we have a meltdown and we leave the church, find some insecure, immature pastor that'll give you the platform, and then you just lose it anyway. Come on, I watch all these Bible students that come to Bible school and they're there for 2 years, and I wouldn't give them the pulpit at all. Not at all. Just because you've been to Bible school for 3 years doesn't mean that you have pulpit ministry. It means you went and you did your research and you were on time and you did your lessons. Doesn't mean that that actually gave you your wings. And we're just putting wings on people. No, I don't think so. We need to do that real quick. We need to just wait a little while, check them out really good. Because how many of you know that ministry is about people? The currency that God has us work with is people. And if we abuse the currency of heaven, which is people, we get in trouble. And isn't it amazing that we abuse the currency of heaven because we think we have a gift? And we have the authority. And nobody speaks about it. I don't want to get into it, but just lately, there was somebody that had to be really dealt with harshly because he was consistently beating up, just destroying the currency of God. And a whole board of people I had to meet. I don't know if you guys are aware of what all happened there. But hey, you know what? I believe that there needs to be more people in place watching over the bride of Christ in the nations. Now, I'm not saying it's me, but I believe that there are people there that are ordained, that are well versed, that are strong, mature, young, strong people that can actually have oversight of what's going on. Why? Because this is what God said to me. He said, "Before you can touch my bride, be sure you can touch your bride. Don't you come and misuse my bride. Don't come touch my bride and abuse your bride." The way you treat your wife, to me, is the first thing in ministry. Yes. Not like way down there, maybe. No, the way you treat your marriage, the way you look at your marriage, the way you put value on your marriage, the way you value your spouse, the way you talk to your spouse, the way you minister to your kids, that to me is the first port of call to ministry. Amen? Yeah. Come on. I don't care if you can tell me what I had for breakfast. You're not going to prophesy over my life if your life is a mess. Your children are a mess. Now, we don't all have responsibility. Listen, if my kid's 30 years old and he's made some decisions, he's 30 years old. Amen. Come on. He's an adult. I'm speaking about kids before they turn 21. In my household, I'm going to make sure my household is a place of tremendous grace and peace. Amen. Come on. But when those boys get old and those girls get older and they leave my nest, they're in their own nest. How many of you know that that's true? Yeah. When a son leaves his mother and father's house and cleaves to his wife, that's their life. Yeah. You have nothing to do with their life. Hello? And that's where some mothers get in trouble because they can't leave their little boys. But, you know, I can't leave my little boy. Well, he's married. That's his wife. I'm not speaking about that. I saw some of you real tense up, right? God bless you. And so finally, King Saul dies in battle, and we see this amazing sequence of three different times. There was Samuel the prophet, and twice by men, this man gets anointed as king. There was a commission, and let me tell you, they were very clear on their commissioning. The point that I'm trying to make here is that God may have called you to be a prophet, but until the leaders in your sphere of authority recognize, invite, and empower you to have influence and authority, you are only a prophet to yourself. Let me read that again. The point that I'm trying to make is that God may have called you to be a prophet, a teacher, evangelist, whatever it is that you feel that God's called you, but until the leaders in your sphere of authority, how many of you know that we all have a sphere of authority? Yeah. until your pastor, until your leader, until Apostle Zach, I don't know what you call him, but we recognize them as apostles. And so until they recognize you, until they call you in to that place, you're just a prophet to yourself. That's just how the kingdom of heaven operates. Amen. Come on. The same is true for you if you don't feel the call of a prophet, but rather feel called to lead, to influence, to pastor. You know, I go to churches and I watch people and I see people walking around the church prophesying over this one and prophesying. And then I speak to the pastor and say, hey, you know, that guy over there, is he your local prophet, your house prophet? And the pastor sometimes would say, I don't even know the man. We don't even know who they are. But these guys come into churches and they will come around people in large churches and start prophesying and ministering out of their authority, out of the realm of authority. Stop that. If somebody comes to you and you don't recognize them from your house and you don't recognize them as being part of this church and they don't have an authority over your life, they're not accountable to your life, they're not accountable to your pastor, you've never seen them before, say, no, I'm not receiving that from you. Because all that does, it brings confusion. Hello? There's so many confused, bewildered Christians walking around in church because we're just receiving all sorts of stuff from everybody. Amen? I know you're all mature. You big, mature people. I understand that. But you're going to get somebody that you're going to feel attracted to, and you're going to give them favor, and they're going to operate in their anointing without the authority. You're going to be in trouble. Amen? So we're not trying to tell people to stop operating. I'm just saying to people, listen, if you feel you have a prophetic voice or you have a prophetic something going on, you have a prophetic itch and you need to get it scratched, go to your leader and say, I don't know what it is, but I just want to prophesy over this one and I want to prophesy. And can you help me to understand the authority that God's put me on? Do you understand? Is this okay? Happy face. I love the vessel. Thank you, Jesus. It's time that we start to understand this stuff because a prophet is a leader. And listen to what John Maxwell says. He who leads and has no followers is only taking a walk. But that doesn't mean you have to wait for a throne to start acting like a king. Come on. Start leading yourself well today. Prayer meetings. Listen to me. People come to me the other night. Somebody asked a question. I was in another church and they asked, how do I start the process? I have a prophetic gift. I'm called. And I said to them, are you part of this church? Yes. Do you have a relationship with your pastor? I said, that's the first port of call. Build relationship. Come to the prayer meetings. 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 How do I get into ministry? Come to the prayer meetings. Come to the prayer meetings. How do I go to the world? Be a servant. There must be a vacuum cleaner in the house somewhere. God's called me to the nations. Cool. We've got a brush in the toilet. Needs cleaning. See, it just bypasses us. Because what we've done is we've raised up sons inconsistent to character. We've given 15-year-olds license to drive vehicles and they don't have a clue about the mechanics of the engine. They didn't even know where to put the oil in. They know how to put it up fuel, but they don't know how to change oil. I wish I could build something in this nation that if somebody wanted to drive at 15, that they had to go to a course for 6 months before they could drive. My course. Can you change a wheel? Can you change a fan belt? Do you know actually the mechanical workings of an engine? Do you know actually how an engine works? Some kids wouldn't be able to tell you. Well, there's a computer in there and I turn the key. No, brother, you're wrong. We don't have a clue about the mechanisms of God. We don't understand the diversity of the kingdom of heaven. When you speak a prophetic word over somebody's life, that it's coming from the Spirit of God into their spirit, or it's coming from your spirit into their spirit, and that's going to be a mess. That's going to be chaos. That's going to be confusion. And then the pastor has to sit night after night, week after week, we're trying to get the person counseled and healed because somebody thought they were a prophet. And then everybody hates prophets. I can't tell you how many messages I get about people say, it's amazing. They always write me a little thing. It's almost the underlying thing is, well, in the last days there will be false prophets. But you know what? I know what it's who's aimed at. But what about the last days? There will be true prophets. There will be true apostles. There will be men and women that will understand how the word works. And it's almost like God is shaping us into this maturity that's coming on the church, the supernatural maturity that we can stand and we can speak the word of the Lord because we've done the hard yards and we've gone through the testings of God and we've been found not wanting anything. And our words are clear and sharp and our words bring life and there's resurrection and there's healing and there's miracles and there's signs and wonders and people are thrust into their destiny because we're doing it God's way, not man's way. Amen? Come on. People have asked me all the time, how do we test prophecy? Well, let me tell you how you test prophecy. Once and for all, if prophecy doesn't come to pass, it wasn't prophecy. Finished. Done. If God speaks a word, it's going to come to pass. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, whether you don't like the conditions, if God says something, it will happen. Amen? Come on. And the only one condition I find in Timothy is that you need to do some prayer. That's the only condition I find in the whole Bible. Paul says to Timothy, now that you've received prophetic intimation, now do spiritual warfare. That's the only condition I find. And I've checked that whole thing out. Conditions? I've had to actually renounce some of my teaching because I used to teach that. Well, there's all these conditions. What condition? Prayer. Amen. Hello. If you had a word 50 years ago and nothing happened, go back to God and say, God, nothing happened. Because we're starting to see unprecedented miracles in our meetings. Unprecedented. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, people getting healed. We had the most miraculous healing the other day, about 4 or 5 weeks ago. We had a woman who had her... Now, I have to be careful now because I said it wrong the other day. She had her fallopian. She had her fallopian tubes. I'm glad I'm not anybody's chiropractor. I mean, gynecologist, sorry.
Either one.
Jesus help me. I'm digging a hole. She had all these tubes removed and she only had a quarter of an ovary left. I don't know how big ovaries are. I don't know if they're like big like lemons or small like grapes. How big are they? They're small. Well, she had a quarter of one left. The other one was gone, and she had cancer in that one. And so the doctor said to her, you will never fall pregnant. You might as well just take everything out. And she came to a meeting in Kentucky where I was, and I never knew anything about anybody, just called her out. I said, that lady over here, come out here. I said, the Lord says, continue to do the, what did I say to her? I said, continue to do the treatment. Just continue. I never knew anything. I said, continue to do the treatment. I just feel you need to continue the treatment, and in 9 months, you will have a baby boy. And she went back to her seat and told her husband there was a false prophet at church. Listen to what happened. I've got it on video. I'll actually show it over the next couple of days if you want me to. And I've got it on video. And the next time I was there, she was holding a baby boy. And she said, her and her husband said, can we speak to you? I said, sure. She said, when you were here 9 months ago, you said this and this and that. She said, to the day that you said that I would fall pregnant, I fell pregnant. She said, I knew something was different. She went to Walmart and bought 11 different pregnancy tests. She had 11 pregnancy test little goodies in her bathroom. 11, phoned her husband and said, you better come home, I'm pregnant. phoned her doctor the next morning and said, I have 11 pregnancy tests that are positive. And the doctor said, that's absolutely ridiculous. That cannot happen. And she said, I want to tell you, I'm pregnant. And she had a baby. See, we've had 180, you can ask D, 180 barren women have children. That's prophetic. It's not like, well, the Lord would say, I just feel maybe. No, thus saith the Lord. Like this lady sitting over here. What's your name? Thus saith the Lord. Your household's coming into a place of healing and restoration. And all the stuff that you thought would be lost over years and years and years of chaos and all sorts of stuff. God says, I'm restoring your inheritance. I'm restoring people's lives and health back to them in this season like never before. You're going to see a restoration of your family like you've never seen it before, because you've been crying out to God for God to restore, to bring healing, to bring restoration, and to bring resources. And God says, I'm going to resource you in this season, and you're not going to feel fearful and overwhelmed and just think that everything's been taken from you. And God says, I'm going to bless you and minister to you, and you're going to see a thriving take place. God says, out of the stump will come forth a new root and a new branch and a new shoot, God says, will come out of the stump that everybody thought was dead. That's saith the Lord. Come on. That's prophecy. Is that what you're going through? See, we want to come around people and say, and we want to use all sorts of language, charismatic language. Why don't you just prophesy? Why don't you just tell them what God is saying to you? Instead of trying to pad it and add it and trying to get, I'm not interested in people's affirmation anymore. Your affirmation belongs to God, not to me. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Come on, man. And so I believe that in this church, God is going to raise up a supernatural community. I'm telling you tonight. You're going to see a supernatural community. The days of elementary stuff is over. People have tried to feed you bread and feed you hot chips and feed you crips. God says, no, you need to get men in here. They'll feed you the meat of the word and feed your people the meat of the word, because you're on the cusp of a supernatural breakthrough. This household will become a supernatural hub that won't just touch Peter's Creek, but it'll touch all of Alaska. You've got to start to realize that God's going to change your focus. And I saw God taking you out of fishing vessels and putting you in a frigate, putting you in an aircraft carrier, and the aircraft carrier is going into the mid-ocean. 90,000 tons of diplomacy, God says, will become part of your life. God says, you'll be in the bridge looking over all the things that I will give you. God says, no longer small-minded people coming around you, but people with vision, people with an expectation, and you're going to see the changing of the guard. There's some people that are going to come in, and let me tell you, there's some people that are going to function out. They're going to flow out. It's like you're going to have a revolt door for a while, but God says you're going to be stuck. You'll end up with those men and women with a spiritual appetite for my glory. I'm telling you. When churches get small, I'm not nervous. I don't get nervous, because I know that in times God starts to bring in people. You guys have been flaming the flames. You've been knocking on heaven's door. God says, you know what? I'm serious about these guys. I'm going to pour out my spirit. And those people that don't like revival, they're going to leave. But those people that have cried out for revival, they're going to come back. Yes. So you've got to choose in this season. I go to big churches and they are emptying out because pastors will not compromise the word of God. They keep on preaching the word of God and people are leaving. But guess what? There's a generation coming back. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Are you okay? Tomorrow I'll wear my blue shirt. But I'm telling you, God, can I propose something to you? That you're coming into revival. You're coming into the place where God's going to start to bring fire back in the house. People are going to start getting healed. People are going to start getting restored. You have gone through the fire long enough to be changed and mentored by God. It's like you guys have been in the fire and God says, I'm forging you to take my shape in this season. But then times you can't make a sword and then after the battle go back into the blacksmith shop. That sword has been forged. And some of you are saying, well, maybe we should go back in the fire. You don't need to go back in the fire. You've been fired up. You've been forged for such a time as this. But what you need to do is find your lane and start to run in your lane and say, God, what is my assignment in this season? I know I went on a rabbit trail there, but point to ponder, and then we're going to end. You may not be leading the masses or living in the fullness of your calling just yet. However, there are some things, there are things you can do today to begin walking in your prophetic destiny with what's right in front of you. What has God given you in this season that you can be stewarding well? Let me read that again. You may not be leading the masses. You may be leading a dozen people. You may be leading two people. You may just be the power of one. But you need to start to think down, okay, God, I'm not leading masses yet. However, there are things in my life today that I can start walking in terms of where my destiny is taking me. What have you given me in this season that I can steward well? What are you going to steward well? That brother sitting over there, what's your name? Just hold hands. You are together, just hold hands. It seems like when one door closes, God says, one door's closed. I saw one door closed. And God says, I'm about to open another door for you. And the door that I'm going to open will not be closed to you. For the thing that you've carried in your life for a long, long time is not just taking people on adventure tours. But the thing that you've carried, both of you have carried in your hearts for a long time, is how to disciple and how to coach and how to mentor people, not just young people. But you've said, God, I want to mentor people. I want to train people for warfare. I want to train people. I want to take people on all these different things. I want to mentor them. I want to show them how to do stuff. I want to show them how to tie a knot. I want to show them how to make a fire. I want to show them how to do things. That's what you carry. Not just taking people on tours, man. And just because the door's closed, God says, I'm going to open up a better door for both you and your wife. Are you guys married? Praise God. But God's going to start stirring you and stirring you and stirring you. And I just see the days are coming where you're going to start raising up. You're going to start stewarding. You're going to start helping other people steward what's on their heart to fulfill their destiny. It's not just going to be a hit and miss anymore, but it's going to be a consistent thing, a flow of income into your lives, a flow of anointing. I'm telling you, it's going to be a blessing to both of you. Amen? Come on. What's your name? I just see how God's going to start opening doors of favor for you, Olivia. Just, I see doors of favor where places are going to start opening up for you that you never thought you'd ever see. It's like God says, you don't have to go to the pit to get to the palace. I'm just going to open the doors of the palace and you're going to go right in. And it's like you're going to have tea with the king and you're going to have tea with the governor and you're going to have coffee with the governor and you're going to have all these different things going on because God says, I'm going to start putting this in your heart because there was being a humility. God says, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to bring you into a place of promotion like never before in this year. Amen. Come on. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Some of you have waited on God and say, well, I don't think I have a gift. That girl over there chewing gum, what's your name? Come out here quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. That young man with the blue shirt on, come out here quickly. Just come out here quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. That lady there with the green on, what's your name? Yes. Deanna? I just feel you've come through a season of tremendous opposition. It's like the winds have been blowing. It's like, Lord, what's been going on? How are we going to deal with this? And I just felt the Lord say, from this night, the wind's turning and blowing into your sails and not against your sails in the name of Jesus. And you're going to come through this season far greater. I just see a strength and a faith on your life like never before. And the Lord says, keep the mourners and the groaners away from you. This is not the season to get the people around you that'll even just come and talk and stuff with you that just opens up the sore and opens up the stuff. God says you've got to keep people like that far from you in this season. In Jesus' name. Father God, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for such a time as this. Come on. God wants to stir up giftings. God wants to stir up things in your life. Amen. Come on. That couple there, the guy with the beard, and he's, is it his wife, your wife? Come. The other day, I just told people, come out here, hold hands. And when they got to the front, I prophesied to them for like 15 minutes. They weren't even married. Come. So now I'm asking everybody, you married? You married? You married? You know that man? Come, just stand in front of me over here. Come, 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 come. Just take your hands out your pockets. Father God, we just thank you. What's your name? Megan. Prophetic, 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 prophetic anointing on you. God's going to start to give you dreams. God's going to start to show you things in the night hours. You're going to wake up. It's like the fear. I just sense like this thing, the fear that tries to come and say, you can't do it. You're just small. You this. God says, I'm destroying the fear and I'm giving you a boldness. I'm giving you insight. I'm giving you understanding. I'm giving you like a supernatural GPS in Jesus' name. Father, we just thank you. There's more in you than the eye can see. How old are you?
14.
Going on 30. There's more in you. There's an anointing to see people saved. There's an anointing. It's almost like I just see this supernatural anointing. I see you like a swordsman. You know, not like the three musketeers. What's those guys? They put the white thing on and they... Fences. I see you like a fencer. And you know, a fencer has like a cable on him. And he pulls against the cable and he fights and then he pulls back. But the Lord says, I'm about to cut the cable. And I'm about to give you the freedom that you need to go in and just destroy the works of the enemy. Even at your age, you see things by the Spirit. And many times you don't tell anybody. But God says, I'm going to start to give you a voice. And you're going to start to say, hey, I had this dream. I had this dream. Even on the platform there, you're going to say, hey, by the way, I've got a prophetic word. And you're going to start to speak prophetically. Amen? Come on. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I don't know why I'm getting this picture, but I saw you like on a big canoe. You can go and sit down. But I saw you on this big canoe like in Hawaii. Have you been to Hawaii, Waikiki? And you can go to the Waikiki beach and they'll take you out and there's like a guy sitting in the front and the back and they give you a paddle and everybody paddles on the way in and everybody catches a wave. And I saw you helping people paddle. She's like, hey, hallelujah. I saw you, but everything was going in unison. And as they put the paddle in the water, it moved the boat with such efficiency. And it was gliding on the water. And the Lord is saying to you tonight, you do not know your strength yet. You do not know your capability yet. It's like you've been battling. And it's like, I see one of those like things that have the colors on it, you know, and a Rubik's Cube, and I see it's like that. But God says, even as you start testing the word, even as you start praying and waiting on me, you're going to start to feel that the unction and the anointing coming on you to help people to find their fit or find their place, find their position. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what's in your heart to do, but I just feel whatever it is, it's going to glide through the water. Just absolutely, there will be no restrictions. It'll be so efficient. It'll glide. It'll be no restriction. It'll just move in. And I just feel that's on your lives. Amen. Father, we just thank you. Don't battle. Don't battle anymore with saying, God, I don't know if I'm hearing right. Don't battle with that. Speak to him. Amen. Come on. You seem to be very nice and feminine, but you're really strong. You're really stronger than him. It's like you carry two swords and a javelin and a spear and a quiver and an arrow and everything. And you got like hidden knives and stuff. He just carries a baton, you know. So, Father, we just thank you that he's going to start to hear the word of the Lord and he's going to start becoming armed and he's going to start to step up. I just feel there's such a significant, and let me just say this, global ministry on you. Bye. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. I just feel, Roger, I know we had some time together yesterday or the day before, but I really feel you've got to write that book. You've got to start to journal because your book will become a survival guide to other people. Your stories will become a survival guide to other women. People will read your book and your book, the words coming out of the book, will literally help them survive. Amen. And God says, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to give you time. It's like you're like in the season of Noah, and you've got things in your heart to do, and you've been saying, God, I need work, and I need this, and I need that. And I just felt the ravens are going to feed you in the season. I saw the ravens coming, and people blessing you, and ministering to you, and giving you large amounts of finances to take you right through the year. It's like, wow, where did this come from? How did that happen? I see people just delivering stuff to you. It's almost like you're going to come into the season of overwhelming kingdom grace, not human grace, not people's grace, but God's grace on your life. It's like God is going to keep you like he kept Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness. It's like God's going to feed you. And I'm not just speaking about manna. I'm speaking about, man, people are going to bless you with things that you only desire to have. And so, Father, we just thank you that this is going to be a season that you're going to release the anointing. It's like you carry such an anointing and such an insight. This guy sitting over here is he's a walking miracle. He had stage what cancer? Stage 3 cancer. I saw the pictures. And I'm telling you, God healed him. God set him free. He has an anointing to heal people. That you must hear their testimonies and the things that God's done with them. And so they're carrying this amazing gifting and anointing. And let me tell you, God's going to release it on the earth. This is going to be not next year, tonight. God's going to start to release things in your spirit. You're going to wake up in the morning and say, I had a dream, and she's going to have the same dreams you have. And you guys are going to start to compare dreams, and God's going to start giving you dates and weeks and months and times. And God's going to be so specific, you're going to be absolutely overwhelmed what God's going to do with you in this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so tomorrow night we're going to just carry on. We're just going to and bring people with you. Please don't stay away tomorrow. I know it's Friday night. It's chicken night. I know it's pizza night or whatever movie is on. But come back and listen and just say, God, I want to start allowing you to fill me with wisdom and understanding, because God, what God wants to do with you. Amen. Come on. I know God's doing something with you. It's almost like this groundswell is starting to happen with Bridge of Hope Ministries. Don't get off the wave. Stay on the wave. Amen. Come on. Have you ever seen these big waves come in? And then and you see these surfers, they just go and find another. It's like, stay on the wave. And I just feel the Lord saying that to you as a church. Amen. Come on. God bless you.
Yeah, it's a good word. So as we dismiss, I want to, 2 Corinthians 9 says he gives seed to the sower, bread to the eater, and tonight seed was sown to us. And if you're like me, you ate it and ate it and ate it, and I feel full, and now I want to give. And so as the seed has gone out, I want to give us opportunity to sow seed into the ministry of David McDonald Ministries. Last night I had you just put them in these jars. I'm going to do that again if you want to give. There are also 2 blue boxes in the back you can drop in there. If you make out a check, you can make it out to BOH or Bridge of Hope, and we will make one check out to David McDonald. If you do make it out to David McDonald, it'll get to him anyway. So one way or another, it'll get to him. But I want to pray, and I want to see all of you here tomorrow night. I just made a mental note of everyone that's here. So if you're not here, yeah, you know I have a memory too. So yeah, so I'm going to pray and bless our going. So Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for just bringing this amazing time together. We thank you for the seed that was sown. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to sow our seed as well. I pray that you would bless it. You said, Lord, that you would increase that seed as we sow it. So, Lord, we release it to do its work. We thank you for the opportunity. And Lord, we love you, we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you want to give, come drop it down here. Somebody will take care of that, or the boxes are in the back. Bless you. See you tomorrow.